Good morning, church. So good to be in the house of the Lord. This is Sanctity of Life Sunday. Wasn't sure what all that meant, but I know that I remember Heartbeat coming for Sanctity of Life Sunday. And this year, as all of you know, that she was here, Kim was here while we were off. And a lot of you heard her talk on the internet. And somebody from Heartbeat came and left pins on the back counter for us. So pick one of those up on your way out today. There's one for everyone. And then every time you use it, remember to pray for Heartbeat. If you don't have Heartbeat on your prayer list at home, pray for them daily. They're doing a very good work here in Mar County and taking care of teen mothers who have children that possibly thought of abortion, and they were able to talk them out of it and save the child. This is one of the things that Sanctity of Life is made for, is to try to combat the amount of abortion that's done here in our country and in our state. I asked Siri, because I didn't have any idea how to find out how many abortions there are here in our state. So I asked her, and she said there's 55 abortions per day in Ohio. That's in Ohio, guys. That amounts to 1,650 per month, 20,075 per year. In statistics show that in 1917, 862,320 babies were aborted in the United States in 1 year. So I don't know why the country gets so excited about people dying from a flu when they're able to kill that many children. It makes no sense to me why they're making such a big deal about a few thousand people dying, or maybe even 100,000 dying from the flu, when they're willing to kill 862,000 per year of babies. So guys, we need to pray for Heartbeat. We need to pray for our country, that we can overturn and back up the abortion, get rid of it. It's something that's killing a lot of people. That's why I entitled the lesson for today, "What is Your Life Worth?" Because the Lord was telling me that He loves us, each one of us. And as we get into Scripture today, you'll see that He knew us before we were formed in our mothers. He planned our whole life out for us before that. Wow. So every life is worth something. How much is your life worth? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank You today for Your love. Thank You, Lord, that You do count each life precious in Your sight. That You loved each one of us enough to die for us. That You care about each person here on the earth, whether we're just conceived, whether we're a little baby born, or whether we're an adult. You care about each one of us. You love us. And Lord, You knew us before we were formed, and that is astonishing. Father, I thank You this morning for Your love, for Your kindness, for Your protection. In Jesus' name, amen. So, when I don't know exactly what something means, I go to the dictionary, and that's what I had to do for sanctity. Sanctify, I kind of go together. Sanctify means to make holy, set apart as holy. And sanctity means holiness, or the fact of being sacred. So then I went and looked up sacred. Sacred as belonging to God. So if you realize that you belong to God, it makes a difference in how you think about the way you act and react to things every day. Let's go to Psalms 139 to begin today. I also noticed that the thing here with that Julie put in had a verse from that Heartbeat had in here from Jeremiah 1:5. It says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." You all know Jeremiah 29 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you." That's another good one. But Psalms 139, it goes along the same lines. If I can find it here real quick, I didn't mark it out ahead of time. Psalms 139, we're going to be looking at verses 13 and following in 139. The whole chapter is good. Psalms 139, if you want just a good chapter to go to know your worth. But in verse 13 it says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Wow. Think about that just for a little bit. Before any of me happened, God wrote it down in his book what my life would be. Most of you know my testimony. The devil tried to kill me when I was a young man, and God didn't let that happen. He spared my life. So how much is life worth? Perhaps one of you would be next Billy Graham. Perhaps one of you will be instrumental in bringing thousands, millions to Christ. And the Word says that he's not coming back until everyone has had that opportunity. So we've got work to do. We'd like to see the second coming come in our time. We've got a lot of work to do. Because there are still some who haven't heard that Jesus is Lord, who haven't heard that Jesus died for their sins. So until that happens, why, he's going to hold off coming back. Even though things look like they could end any time now. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10 now. Matthew 10:28. That's where Jesus is talking about the sparrows and their worth. But he begins here in 28. He says, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny?" If you think about a sparrow, I'm not sure why he used a sparrow here, but sparrow in our society, they're not worth a lot. There's a lot of sparrows. There's hundreds and hundreds of sparrows. They're not a state bird or anything. They're just a a sparrow. But it says two of them sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered, so don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. So our worth is way more than we can even think about. Luke chapter 12, 4 and 7 has the same thing in it. You don't have to turn there, but if you just want another example of that same quote there. This is Jesus talking, and he again, Luke wrote the same thing. But why are we precious to the Father? Why do you suppose we're so precious to the Father, to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ? Because His Spirit lives in us. We're the dwelling place for the Spirit of God. He dwells in each one of us. He lives in us. And so that's why we're so precious to Him. That's why we are no longer orphans, but sons. We sang that song the other day. We're not orphans anymore, but we're children of the King. We belong to Him. We're not our own anymore. We belong to the Father. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's see, verses 18 following. 6. That's when this verse begins with, it says, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. So, our body, it says, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And He dwells or lives inside of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's flip over just a few pages to 2 Corinthians. Verse 16 says, what agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And just go ahead and read 17 down through there too. Therefore come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Ephesians chapter 2 is also another good place to go for that. Ephesians 2:19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God, or with God's people, and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. So as a dwelling place for the Father, how much is your life worth? And as I was there talking with the Lord and meditating, He said, how about Moses' life? And I thought, yeah. Moses was set to be killed when he was an infant. Let's go to Exodus. Chapter 1, actually. Right at the beginning of God getting ready to take the children of Israel out of Egypt. Begin in chapter 1, 22, I guess, is where I want to start, because this is where Pharaoh gave his order. He says, Pharaoh gave this order to all his people. Every boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live. So the command was made to kill all of the male children as they were born. They were supposed to dispose of them, get rid of them. And you all know the story, how he was put in a little basket in the Nile and was rescued and became a leader of the children of Israel. He was the man who went to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. God called him in chapter 3, verse 4. It says, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, and this was Moses looking at the burning bush, God called to him from within the bush, and he said, Moses, Moses, here I am. Moses said, do not come any closer. God said, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And he said, am I not? I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And at this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And God went on to tell him how he'd seen the misery of the children of Israel and how they'd been mistreated, and said, I want you to bring them out. Moses began to argue with the Lord. He said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children or the Israelites out of Egypt? That's verse 11. God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. What a powerful God. Say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. And you all know the rest of the story, how Moses then went. By the time the Israelites came out, there was over a million of them. So maybe you'll be a Moses. Some of you maybe will be a Moses. Or how about Joseph? I was just reading about him this morning. I didn't actually write any of this down, but Joseph was, his brothers plotted to kill him, threw him in a cistern. They were going to kill him because he was bragging about them bowing down to him and stuff. And God spared his life as well. And he saved multi-millions of people because of all the grain that he kept during the years of famine. or during the good years, for the years of famine. So there's a lot of examples, not only in the Word of God, but in our life. We know people who have been spared, and had testimonies of people who have been spared from abortion, who have become great and mighty men and women of God. So maybe God's calling you. Perhaps you were born to make a difference for the kingdom of God. He doesn't make mistakes, but He makes precious lives that are born to become children of God, to walk in His ways, to do His will, and to save men and women, boys and girls, from a life in hell. So as we come this morning to a time of invitation, musicians will come and share another song. If you've never made a decision for Christ, I would love for you to do that this morning. If you would just like to say, I want to be a man of God or a woman of God who does whatever He wants me to do, we'd love to pray with you about that. If any of you need a healing, come to pray with us about that. The elders will be here, and we'll pray with you just about anything you'd like. So this is the time for that to happen. So go this week and make a difference. But if you would, pick up a pen on your way out today and remember to pray for heartbeats because of the difference that they make right here in Mara County.